opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Celebrating over 10 years on the air here, Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll be back tomorrow. Today, the 12th of May, 2020, 7:05 in the morning, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, courage. And Shasta Regional Medical Center will be with us at 8 o'clock this morning to talk about what's going on over there. And what's the weather look like? Let me guess. My Apple Watch that Linda got me for last, you know, last year to the Ultimate Tether. tells me it shows little umbrellas everywhere.
Yes. If you liked what you saw yesterday, great, because that's what we're seeing for pretty much throughout the rest of the week. 70% chance of showers likely today with a high of 66 degrees, and then slightly less chance overnight with 40%, but we're up to 90% chance for showers on Wednesday. We are looking at our first mostly clear day on Thursday night into Friday, and then we have what's listed as a, quote, slight chance of rain by Saturday.
Okay. Weather reports brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane, a veteran-owned business in Anderson that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. You can give them a call at 365-3793. Well, I'm here with Turtle Bay with Ryan and Elizabeth. Good morning.
Morning.
Getting a little bit closer there. Use your outdoor voice.
We're so used to social distancing.
You don't have to social distance that mic. Just don't lick it because it's you'll get Clorox into your system, which will thoroughly probably take the first layer of skin off your tongue. Okay. Oh, that's a pleasant way to start the day.
Yeah,
Ryan, what's going on, buddy?
Yeah, well, first off, we just want to thank all of our members and guests that have stayed connected with us through social media by seeing all of our live posts and commenting and just...
you put a lot of stuff out, Ryan.
Yeah, our team pretty much every day is on live from the animal department to exhibits, education. We're still doing Little Explorers and Songs with Seth. And so we really just want to create the experience for our members and our guests that we're still here, we're still active, the animals are being taken care of and loved. And I mean, we're definitely missing the faces, but we're still running with all cylinders firing. And big right now is while we cannot announce an open date, but we are always looking with state guidelines and recommendations to keep all of our guests safe, we are working hard to prepare for that opening, hopefully someday soon. So we're already working on exhibit change outs and preparing for that open for people to come in. So we're hoping that date is coming up soon.
Well, you all have the ability to... I would think even better than a grocery store, to count the number of people you have in there and to keep them distanced, you know, and require masks. So it seems to me y'all could open sooner. Because a lot of the stuff you do is outside.
And that's what our managers are currently looking at is what that's going to look like to reopen. And I think a lot of the museums and zoos are currently navigating that. So
okay,
but in the meantime, we definitely want to encourage people to still check in. Our spring plant sale is still going strong.
I thought that was gone by now. I thought you probably would have been sold out by now.
We're sold out of some select things. There were some really popular like vegetables that we sold out of, but our horticulture manager has said we were going to do this as long obviously as we have plants, but as long as the closure. So
got roses still?
Oh, that'll have to check. I haven't been in the nursery in a few days. So, but definitely, do that online order form. And we've been updating that.
And that online order form is easy. Not only does it tell you everything that's in there, so I should probably check.
Yeah.
But it gives you the Latin name.
Yeah, yeah.
And it says what it is and how you grow it and what it looks like.
Exactly, yeah. Everything you need there to have that plant grow successfully here in this Redding, well, not heat this week, but soon to come. We try to pick plants that are drought tolerant and native to this area so that they'll grow and thrive in your backyard.
Yeah, I saw some more good news yesterday. This could be the biggest drought summer than we've had in a long time.
Oh.
Let me see. What haven't we had? Frogs. Frogs have not dropped from the sky.
Yeah, the 10 plagues have not.
We've had several of them, but I haven't seen. And I'm looking at the Sacramento every day to make sure it doesn't turn blood red.
Yeah.
Because at some point after that, it's the firstborn. And I was a firstborn. So I'm a little concerned about that. I do have a lamb standing by that I can put the blood of the lamb over my door.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I know you animal lovers out there. He's going to kill a lamb. He's going to kill a lamb. No, read your Bible. Okay. Elizabeth, what do you do?
So I am the development and membership coordinator at Turtle Bay. So right now we're having a membership sale to show how much we appreciate and miss our members. And up until May 31st, we're doing $15 off of our membership. And it's a great way to get prepared with everything coming up. Once we do have a reopening date, you'll be ready to go with a brand new membership or renewed. And then you can come in and enjoy what Turtle Bay has to offer you.
Now, so what's that bring the cost to?
So a family membership with two adults and four kids can come in for $75 with the new
year.
Discount code. Yes.
And you don't have to pay another dollar. You see every one of the exhibits, because there was a time when you paid extra for the exhibits and it irritated people. And then after you did away with that, they didn't have anything to be irritated with. So then you could go, well, now you can join.
Exactly.
Yeah, and most of the people that were really irritated with it probably weren't joiners anyway.
And you can bring in guests for half price, too. So anybody more than the two people on the card. So you can.
Oh, half price.
At half price.
Okay. And those four kids don't have to be yours.
Nope. You can bring your kids' friends, and as long as they go up to four on the card, you're good to go.
And they have to be under the age of?
18.
18. There you go. Okay. So right now you can get a year membership at a reduced price.
Yeah.
Still get all the benefits, get all the great things that happen there. You can set up a time to go back and see Timber the Beaver. Mm-hmm. You can go out to the Lower Keats and stand out there with cups of nectar.
Yeah.
I told you my favorite thing to do out there is when there's kids out there, is when a little kid walks by. And if he's been kind of a little annoying, I pour a little nectar on the top of his head.
Oh.
And then, the Lower Keats come over and just love him.
Is that why your face is posted on the lorikeet thing of don't let this guy in?
Don't let this guy in. I tell you what, it was one of the it's really a lot of fun in there because you've got two different kinds of lorikeets. Now, you had to blend two different tribes, I guess, or flocks together.
Yeah.
And one of them's larger than the other one, yet have they blended okay?
The Turacos. We have Turacos in the lorikeets. And from what I hear from animal department, sometimes they get along and other times, I guess birds will be birds, but right now it seems that they're
getting
enjoying the closure together.
Yeah, and they only eat nectar. Is that correct?
Carl, you always ask me the questions that are the
that
animal.
That has nothing to do with you, right? Okay. Well, that's because you brought a snake in here one day and wrapped it around my boa wrapped it around me.
That was things interesting.
It was interesting. They love you and they hug you.
Yeah. No, but that's a good question that I will have an answer prepared for you next time. But they do love nectar. We know that.
Okay, look, we're going to take a break here. I'm with Turtle Bay and Ryan and Elizabeth. And we're going to come back and talk about what we're going to see when we open. And I think we're going to probably be able to open in a couple of weeks. I can't imagine it's much more than that.
Yeah,
because, like I said, again, you all can really distance people. You've got lots of room to do that. And you can, to me it seems like yours would be one of the places that would be on the list to be able to open up, as long as you can control who comes in, which you can. So, okay, and this portion of the show brought to you by Bastiani Arms. John Bastiani started this business over 10 years ago, too, just about the same time we did. And John has become one of the premier firearm shop in Northern California because of its customer service. He's great customer service there for he and all of his people. They have every type of firearm you can imagine. And all the accessories, they have classes on concealed carry, hunter safety. They've got it all there. This is the only place I go to buy guns is from John Bastiani and Bastiani Arms. 2539 Larkspur, open Tuesday through Saturday. We'll be right back with Turtle Bay. 55 degrees out there, 7:14 in the morning here on the 12th of May.
Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle. Get your morning update with us,
Armstrong and Getty, 9 to 12 on KCNR.
Tune into North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvy with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Shasta College has been a vital part of this community for over 70 years. Look around. You probably know many of our successful graduates serving our community in high-demand, high-growth fields like nursing, law enforcement, accounting, communications, and agriculture. Summer enrollment is happening now. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply to enroll for the summer semester. Classes start June 8th. Looking for a transfer? Save money and time by spending your first 2 years at Shasta College before you transfer to a university. High school students, summer is the perfect time to earn college credit with no tuition cost. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply.
No tuition cost. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51. Jefferson,
hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Let's go do what hungry beavers do. It will taste so good.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio. 605-4567 is our phone number here on the 12th of May, and 55 degrees out there in Clyde's Enterprises. The original and still the best. Over 47 years in the business. And Clyde started this when he was 50. I'm just kidding. Over 47 years in the business, Clyde Pierce, specializing in home electronics. Over 32 years in the satellite business, your source for Dish Network. Authorized dealer for Sony, Samsung, LG, Klipsch, and Bose speakers. And if you buy you go down there. Don't go to the big box stores. Go to Clyde's. Buy it at a comparable price, if not a better price, than you do at the big box stores. And guess what? He delivers it. He puts it up in your home. If you want surround sound, he will put surround sound in your home, as he did ours. And it's absolutely fabulous. Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell Avenue. Give him a call at 221-4144. I'm here with Ryan and Elizabeth from Turtle Bay. And we were talking about, that's why you got, if you remember that movie with Billy Crystal and Jack Palance, and he was a cowboy, and he went back out on a, and I can't remember the name of the movie, but Palance.
City Slickers?
City Slickers. And so so two of the guys there are the ice cream guys, famous. They were playing the part of these two ice cream guys, you know, that they said, name a dish, and they would pair it with an ice cream dessert. It really got into that. But so what I do to Ashley is she comes in, what's the event going to be? I said, find a song on. And then she's got 3 minutes to find a song about something.
Whoa.
Huh. Sometimes less.
I don't think you're paying her enough.
Well, that's what I said. I said, find a song about beavers. And she goes, oh, and you found one. You
two beavers are better than one. That was
it.
From How I Met Your Music.
Okay. Oh. Great. I'm not even sure I should have asked. Okay. Now, things that are going on, we've got Turtle Bay TV, which anybody can watch.
Yeah.
Is that right?
It's free online streaming, and this is for distance learning. We've gotten so many great comments of families and kids loving some of our segments, like the education department's done some science projects and some art projects you can do from home. So we're really trying to keep people connected through the park through really well-produced videos of the different things that you would see at Turtle Bay, from similar to like the animal talks they would normally do around the park, to exhibits talking about some of the artifacts in our collection. So it is really this segment that you can sit down with your family at home, stream for free, and keep learning and exploring your world. And that's been our goal. And it's we've gotten great feedback, and we're going to keep on doing it. And we're expanding it and always evolving it based on some feedback we've been getting.
Artifacts, huh?
Yeah.
So what's your favorite artifact there?
My favorite artifact?
Now, artifacts go back for years, right? I mean, we're talking about history here. This just isn't something like a new toilet seat.
Yeah.
No. I mean, but you all have things going back from Native Americans and all that. Do you have a section that's your favorite?
Well, I filmed a section for Turtle Bay TV on we had an episode on a Chaco pitcher from like a pouring water pitcher.
Yeah.
And from the Chaco Canyon, and you gotta go see it, and you gotta see the images of it. The design and the detail of this thing was incredible, and the condition that ours is in. So, if you're trying to trip me up, I do know our artifacts, Carl.
I knew you did. I was just smiling because I saw I saw your eyes roll back in your head, and I went, oh, wait till you get to the next question.
Yeah.
I'll throw that one at Elizabeth.
Oh.
Okay. Now, during this time frame, it is tough. And we know that, but people really believe in Turtle Bay.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many people that do. So are you reaching out? And you know, you did reduce the cost to become a member for this year, but there are other things that you're seeing from members. Are you hearing from members?
Absolutely. So I'm kind of on the front line, and I'm answering phone calls and emails from our members. And let me just tell you, it has been one of the most enlightening things that I've ever seen. Everybody who reaches out to us has been incredibly positive and supportive of Turtle Bay, and we really appreciate it, because these resources that we're putting out, membership helps fund that, helps make sure that we still have the capability to bring those to the people of Reading, mm-hmm. and we really appreciate our members, which is another reason why we're doing the $15 off for the month of May.
Yeah.
So,
and people go, but $15 is a lot when it comes to Turtle Bay,
mm-hmm.
and because at the same time you've got the Mosaic closed, mm-hmm. and you have open for takeout, but the cut back on a number of tourists. The Sheraton, I'm sure, is having their problems, as is every hotel in the United States. I'm at the point where I'm thinking is that we've got to start using some good sense here and start opening up things. And we can do that if we, you can keep track of how many people come in there. And again, I go back to Turtle Bay, seems like a perfect example of how to do this. If Lowe's and Home Depot can have people in there, why can't Turtle Bay? Because you can force social distancing. You can limit the number of people you have there. And people, I think, are polite when they go through there. And, if they're all not going to want to sit there and look at one exhibit. If they do, they can circle around once and come back.
Yeah.
So what exhibits are going to be there when you open up?
So we're still working on doing our next two, which would be Wicked Plants and one on Oh, you're giving me the look like what?
Liking that one with
yeah.
the plants.
So Wicked Plants is based on a book, and it's going to be an exhibit all around some of the poisonous plants. And then we're doing another one on.
Are they real? Or are they just like fake ones?
Well,
like if some kid puts his finger up against, you know, one of these Venus fly, you know, fly traps, right. And he puts a little finger there, and all of a sudden he's lost half of his finger. That's yeah. that's not going to happen.
Probably not. We won't have anything that'll probably endanger our guest there. But
I've seen these movies where these things shoot these darts out. Are we going to? It's probably just a movie, though.
I think that's Indiana Jones. and then the other one is Making Sense, which is all about perfumes. So
that's interesting.
Yeah.
Did you know that one of the reasons that whales were hunted so much, besides for their oil, because people use whale oil in their houses because it burned a lot cleaner, which is one of the reasons they hunted whales. But the other something they had is called ambergris. That came out of a whale that they used in making perfumes.
Oh.
I bet that you'll see that in there.
Yeah.
You didn't know that, did you?
I did not.
Well, you obviously weren't on a whale ship. didn't read Moby Dick? Wait a minute. Lisbeth's young. Lisbeth, what's Moby Dick?
I mean, it's a book about whales.
There you go. Okay. Well, I'm starting to have faith back in our school systems again. Yeah, it's about, well, it's
like
supposedly a book.
Pages,
it's
right?
Yeah, it's about, yeah. It's, what's it about? About 800 pages. But it's all, the whale is just
the white whale, right?
But it's just an analogy. The whole thing's an analogy, an allegory.
I learned that from Parks and Recreation, the show. Okay. We talked about that. So the millennial, that's how we access books, is through TV shows. Carl's lost faith in humanity at this point.
Oh, no. That was several years ago. In fact, I look for good things in humanity to tell me I'm wrong.
There you go.
So no idea when we're going to open up, but I would say it's going to be within 2 weeks.
We're hoping, and again, we're following the state guidelines and recommendations because – our biggest goal here is to keep everyone safe, and so our management and our staff is looking at that daily. And as Elizabeth mentioned, we're watching webinars, and we're really just trying to keep up with what are best practices right now. But our primary goal is, yes, we'd love to get open as soon as possible to enjoy all those things, like Timber the Beaver that we mentioned before.
Yeah. You can still get those, you know, when you come back. You get the back. That's kind of like the, you know, behind the scenes tours you have there. So you can go. And it costs a little money. Now, that's the things that would cost money if you do something like that. Is that true?
Yeah.
And then, because you're having people do extra work and to set up things for you. And that's no problem. So we're all just kind of holding our breath till this thing's over.
Trust us. We miss you guys just as much as you miss us. We're waiting for it.
Yeah. You're such a nice person. Ryan, not too sure. Hey, thanks a lot for coming by, guys. And you can still watch Turtle Bay TV.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that? Just go to your website?
Turtlebay.org, and there'll be an abundance of links there.
Okay.
And we have six full episodes out, and then you can watch all the individual videos as well.
Great. Yeah. Okay. Look, have a good one, and let's hear some good news maybe as early as next week.
Hopefully.
On some of these things, because you all should be in that second tier early on, I would think, because you don't serve food, and you've got, you know, you're kind of a, you know, you're, it's not like you're putting everybody into one room.
Right.
Things
right.
like that. Okay. All right. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here, and we come back. Les Ball, Shasta County Board of Supervisors, joins us with hopefully some edification of what happened as far as opening up. No, don't open up. Okay, open up. Nope, stop. That we've been getting from the state. We'll be right back.
I'm down on my knees. Oh, please grow for me. I've given you plant food and water to sip. I've given you potash. You've given me.
Start your morning with Free Fire Radio and Carl and Linda Bott, 7 to 9 a.m.
And then it's us, Armstrong and Getty, from 9 to 12. Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here, 605-456-7, 733 in the morning, 55 degrees out there, cloudy. Looks like we could get some rain today. Here on the 12th of May, this portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. Cornerstone Community Bank was one of the banks. It's a local bank, locally owned, locally run, local board of directors, everything here that was ready for this, if anybody could be ready. And their leadership in getting that PPP, the Paycheck Protection Program, going was just outstanding. Two branches here in town at 1845 California Street and 192 Hartnell Avenue in the Old Rayleigh Shopping Center. And, of course, one other in our friends in Red Bluff at 500 Riverside Way. Cornerstone Community Bank, among all of the stuff that's going on, is still moving local dreams forward. I'm here with Les Baugh.
Good morning.
Our county supervisor from District
5.
Anderson, Cottonwood.
Vailville, Shingletown, Matton, and Viola.
Okay. Moving a little bit closer.
A little tiny piece of Reading as well.
Well, all of y'all have a piece of Reading.
We all do. Joe has the central core of the city of Reading, and all of us have a little finger into it.
Okay. You know what? Everybody's confused as of today. I mean, totally confused. Toronto.
Absolutely.
Okay, so on Friday, we thought we could start opening restaurants, dine-in restaurants up.
Actually, we were guaranteed that we could.
We could.
Yeah, at the
moment. Okay.
Yeah.
And then it was, and then Monday, which was yesterday, we start getting.
Doesn't it feel like about a month ago?
Well, you know what? It does.
Yeah, seriously.
Because you know, because you try. You try to follow what's going on, and there's like four different stories. But you're one of the county supervisors, and I hope you have one that you can clear things up for us. So we were told, wait a minute, we moved too fast. We can't open up dine-ins yet. Or is that true?
That's what we were told as of yesterday.
Yes. Yesterday.
We're back to curbside pickup for restaurants. Yes, sir.
I'm starting to have, as many other people are, concerns about who's in charge.
Yeah.
Who is in charge?
Well, ultimately, for Shasta County, the governor of the state of California, we are granted individual decision-making ability, but the governor has the right to override. But ultimately, I'll just tell you, the buck stops with board of supervisors. We have the freedom to make any decision we choose. If three supervisors decide a path forward, that's the choice. Whether it's good or bad, Carl, I have to add to that. But that is the right of a local county to run its jurisdiction.
Did the governor come back and because of the Cottonwood Rodeo?
You know, I'm a little confused by that.
So you saw
my hashtag probably on Facebook. I adopted clear as mud. So because on Friday, it was really certain. We thought, and I think it was a good faith thought, that we had done everything right. We'd crossed the T's, we dotted the I's, we can move forward, and restaurants and businesses are now open. It's an expedited path through phase two, and the request to move into a clear phase three. And then literally, we began to find out, and this was parallel to the Cottonwood Rodeo, not after the Cottonwood Rodeo, that we didn't really have everything done.
Well, that didn't have anything to do then with the Cottonwood Rodeo.
Well, it does now, because I understand that the governor has added that as a recognition to delay what could have been an easy answer. Even though I think that we had a few more things we didn't realize had to be done.
Okay.
But now that's beside the point, isn't it?
It appears to be.
Yeah.
Okay, Les, you know what? The Cottonwood Rodeo is a tradition that's been going down there for a long time.
50 years, yeah.
But also, the whole nation has been pretty emphatic about having a bunch of people in one spot. Now, you can go to, surreptitiously go to different places or not surreptitiously. But that's been the one big thing, keeping people out of large gatherings. Anywhere from 2,000 to 5,000 people, which that's a lot, in between. Some people say you can't hold 5,000 people, but our local news said 2,000 people there.
That's what I heard as well.
And by the way, Les was not there.
I was not there. As you know, I pastor a small church, and Sundays is the day that I minister to that congregation. And of course, I had been invited, but I have never been able to go because Sunday is that day that I am involved in the church.
Doing something like that is likened to the guys that wore their guns openly into Starbucks. It's almost like they're forcing. Now, I don't think Cottonwood thought of it like that, but it almost forces a decision from, in this case, the governor. When something like that happens, when it hits, Good Morning America and every newspaper and, Facebook and everything like this. Was that a... did anybody talk? And supposedly people from the county talked to the guy putting it on, and he refused to back down.
I understand there were conversations. What the mindset was, I can't tell you, but I think Cottonwood, and this is the part that probably going to get callers and say, no, that's not right, and Les Baugh, blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. But the bottom line is everybody is feeling the same thing, but Cottonwood wasn't afraid to say so. They are tired. They are literally depressed, being locked down. These are hardworking people that wanted to carry on a tradition, and they did so. Whether that is right or wrong, I don't think that was the thought process. I think the thought process was that this really hasn't turned out to be what we were told it was going to be in Shasta County. If you look back at the statistics, Carl, we should have 144,000 people infected with COVID now, according to that first graph that came out, and up to 40 hospitalizations. But that didn't turn out to be the case, so people made their own decisions.
Well, the first graphic that came
out. I'm not
out,
saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying some point you make your own decision as to where you want to go and what you want to do.
And we are adults.
Yes, yes, we are.
We can do those things.
Free to make stupid decisions and post it on Facebook, right?
Well, as long as you bring it up. Les, what were you thinking of?
Well, it's really simple, Carl. I don't know why anybody was surprised that Les Baugh would do what he did. I mean, this is a repeat of three terms and into my fourth term on the Shasta County Board of Supervisors. My goodness, as a past president of the Anderson Chamber of Commerce, I've spent my entire life promoting and standing behind and beside small businesses. It's not about Woody. It's not about a haircut. It's about 1,000 small businesses being called non-essential. And I don't agree with that.
Well, neither do I.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, there's a but there.
There is a but.
Course,
there's a big but.
And I recognize that.
You are in a leadership position.
Yes.
What you did as a leadership, because you and the Board of Supervisors signed off on this, whether it was complicitly or tacitly, that my barbershop and all the hair salons and all the nail shops and all these bookstores and jewelry stores are shut down under your orders. And you, as a leader, an elected leader, frankly said, I have a different set of rules than you do, Carl, when you took your photo there. Now, frankly, I don't care if you had a haircut. And I would never mention the barbershop on the air, only because I'm trying to protect him.
Yeah.
Because people have already reported him because of you getting your haircut taken there.
Well,
getting your
let's picture back that taken up. There. He'd already been reported several times prior to my getting
okay.
a haircut.
But
which is
here's
part of
the
what
thing,
makes
is,
me
but it
there.
Goes back to yeah. this is, I'm trying to do with my social contract, which is getting frayed at this point because I don't think the government is keeping up their end of it. But I'm trying to protect other people, as I know you are. You're a minister. Yeah. You try to protect other people. But you, in a leadership position, go in, get your haircut, and then put it on Facebook. What's that say about the rest of us that are trying to play by the rules?
Well, here's what it says. If you've been listening to the Board of Supervisors meetings, and I believe you had, and you follow me on Facebook, and you realize the figures and the facts that I've been presenting, this is not – it's a culmination of 2 weeks' worth of trying to move the conversation forward and not being successful about it. I had the same situation when the Forest Service wanted to keep all of the hunters and recreationists and boaters and everything out of the Shasta Trinity National Forest. You could say, well, that's my government. I can't speak up against it. But if I sat down quietly and I didn't speak up against it and said we have a different path and we could do something different, you wouldn't be allowed in the Shasta Trinity National Forest because their mandate said the only thing wrong in the draft plan was the existence of humans. And that's my fight, Carl.
But if
and it's
but
always
your, but
the
your
same
fight
thing.
Is it's been 5-0, then it should be 4-1 then.
It will be 4-1 from now on. If I can't agree with what we're doing, it will be 4-1.
But wouldn't you say as a leader that doing something like this essentially says is that now my barbershop should open then. Is that correct?
Well, the barbershops didn't close, most of them.
No, that's not true.
Well, they're
that's
they're,
not
they're,
true.
Pardon me. I don't know how many barbershops there are, but I counted a dozen that were open prior to the Woody's.
But I also, hair salons, nail studios, all of these, they closed. They closed because we were told to by the county.
Some of them closed, yes, yeah.
Most of them closed.
Okay, okay.
Okay, but you're...
Apparently yours
not,
did. Yeah.
Okay, but here's the
I'll
argument.
I'll give it to you.
Here's the argument is the ones that played by the rules that you promulgated... You then said, well, no, that's not for, it doesn't count. You should be able to do it. Well,
it's a good argument, Carl.
Well,
yeah, it really is.
And that's my only complaint, Les, because I don't care if you get a haircut. You know that.
No.
And I think my barbershop should open, but it's not because they're still playing under those rules, and it's really tough on them. But you, as my elected leader, it's kind of like saying, these rules are for you, but not for me.
So let's back it up to something you said, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm going to agree with you, and I'll just say absolutely right. There's that perspective, and I'm not going to try to argue against it. But where do we take it from there? Initially, I absolutely agreed that this was an honest effort to safeguard our community, and I absolutely agreed with it. After the evidence played out that we weren't having the challenges, and in fact, the last really challenging week we had was the beginning of April. And so we are a long way past that. And at some point, and this is the point that I'm coming back to that you made, at some point people are going to decide for themselves what they want to do to move forward. And so that's the transition you see for me.
Well, if you want to say then as Les Baugh citizen, it's time to move forward, and here I'm taking doing this. But when you say it's Les Baugh supervisor, and you people that have shut down under my rules, and they are your rules, you signed on to it. That to me doesn't seem fair. And that was my problem with it. Okay. Not the fact of the haircut. I think that we need to start opening up businesses. We are different than Southern California. And my barbershop has disposable bibs. They have ways of, so you're sitting on a plastic tarp when you're in there getting your haircut. They're sanitizing in between. I mean, barbershops go through school to learn how to sanitize. So see, it's not that. It's the fact that I felt like, and I think others felt like, you said, there's a rule for me, and there's a rule for you. That was my whole concern.
Carl, I didn't need a haircut.
Well, yeah, you did.
No, I really didn't. I could have gone forever without a haircut, man. I mean, I wasn't pretty, but the impetus wasn't because I needed to have a haircut. The impetus was to move the conversation.
Can you see how other people
see it? I don't disagree with you at all.
Okay.
And obviously, I've read all of the comments, both for and against, and I'm okay with that because this is America.
There are a lot
America.
Of people supporting you.
There is. This is America, man. And you have the right and the ability to speak out and oppose your local elected officials. Exactly, and I'm okay with that. I didn't do it to go and get votes. I did it to make a statement. If anybody knows me, they know that I'm probably more than likely to lose votes over that than to gain votes, so that's not the course.
I think people look for you all for leadership.
Yes.
That's your bottom line. And you know, it's not a flaunting or whatever that is. It's leadership that we have in situations that are tough. And if you want to be able to have absolute faith in your leaders that they're making the right decision. And that was where my problem was, not getting a haircut, but under the parameters that had been promulgated by the county and you. Okay.
And so we're also
I'll give
looking,
you the last word here, and then we have to take a break.
You bet. So we're also looking forward to stuff coming out of the governor's office at the time I made that decision, saying that those businesses and our retail businesses, and especially those personal service businesses, weren't going to even have a door open until September. They wouldn't exist if we waited. So folks like me...
We're still in trouble here.
And we are. But folks like me, we're trying to move that conversation. Right, whether you agree with it or disagree with it, we did succeed in moving the conversation.
Well, it has been talked about a lot.
It has.
Okay, let me
sir.
Take a quick break, and we're going to be right back after these messages. Yeah. Carl Linda Bott, 7:47 in the morning, 55 degrees. And my radio station may be essential, but your guests are not. I'm not exactly sure what that means, but okay. And we got Nick on the line. We'll be right back.
Get your morning update with us, Armstrong and Getty, 9 to 12 on KCNR.
So what's scorecard scribbling's all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Yeah. Who am I not to give them to him? Like I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribblings with Brent Weber, Wednesday night from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Addison's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with 5 types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AddisonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2.
We bring you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites.
You'll hear from experts on national security, the environment, veterans affairs, world politics, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your John Deere Ag and Turf products.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. wethepeopleradio.us.
Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision. Thankfully, it appears that Coachmaster Repair is an essential business and fully prepared to repair any minor or major damage to your vehicle. With the invasion of the coronavirus, Coachmaster is taking all precautions for the safety of our employees and our customers. We have closed all traffic through our lobby to ensure proper social distancing and will be disinfecting your vehicle upon arrival and before delivery. With the effects and response from the virus, we feel fortunate to be able to maintain all of our employees. They will be here to provide all services required for a proper and complete repair. These are uncharted territories. Let's all work together for a full, safe, and prosperous recovery. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
His eyes are cold and restless. His wounds have almost healed.
Yeah, rodeo. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios. KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda will be back tomorrow. And the time is 7:51, 55 degrees out there, cloudy. Looks like it's going to be cloudy. Chances of rain today and tomorrow on Thursday. We're here with Les Baugh, Board of Supervisors, Supervisor for District 4.
District 5.
District 5. I meant 5.
Yeah.
I meant 5.
That's okay.
Let's go to the phones. Nick.
Hey, good morning. You know, I've got an absentee landlord neighbor that lives in San Francisco, he and his wife, and they rent their house to a bunch of young people. There's 5 or 6 20-year-olds over there. And this guy this guy showed up 2 weeks ago, and he's over there, and he's all around the community. And I'm sure he hasn't been checked for coronavirus. I see a guy in San Francisco or in Mount Shasta that's disappeared up there, and he's from San Francisco. And I think it's very faulty for the governor to maybe accuse the Cottonwood Rodeo of spreading coronavirus when, in fact, we've got these people coming into our community uncontrolled that could very well be spreading it. And if it if we have, say, 20 cases this next week, they're going to blame it on the rednecks down in Cottonwood that wouldn't follow the governor's direction. That's the comment I have to make. Now, I wondered where this Karen Ramstorm came from, so I looked her up on Transparent California. And it seems to me, it's what it appears to me is she worked for the state of California last year. She's not a local up here. So the supervisors, again, hired somebody from out of the county, and she's making her total compensation is $284,000 this year, and they've imported all of her CalPERS retirement to our bill, and I wonder when this is going to stop. They gave her a $20,000 raise over what she made last year, and you know, Les, it doesn't seem like you supervisors are representing us.
Okay, Nick, thank you.
So was there a question in there?
Is there a question in there?
Yeah. When are you guys going to wake up
okay.
and start representing
okay. okay.
Okay.
Got it, Nick. Got it. Okay. So that's we brought in somebody, Karen Ramston, and from another place. She got a $20,000 raise this last year and all this, $284,000 a year. Now, you know what? And I have not checked Nick's figures, so I'm just going to trust Nick. And because, you know, Nick gets into these
Nick is really into
yeah,
the deal.
He's into
so
his
I,
figures. Yeah.
I believe he's probably true. I don't think that we gave her a raise since she came here. I think what he's saying is he is receiving $20,000 more than she received in her last job.
So is the but she's the one that's making all the decisions.
Ultimately, the public health doctor is making the decisions. That's right. With either the agreement of or the lack of agreement of the Board of Supervisors. That's correct.
So when is the Board of Supervisors going to say something like, hey, Turtle Bay, you're outdoors, you're a museum, you guys should be able to open up?
I think you began to hear that conversation at our Friday meeting and at our Tuesday meeting. We are growingly, as you expressed earlier, we're growing in concern that we need to move our county forward, that the cure is worse than the safety precautions that have been put forward.
The Cottonwood Rodeo, 2,000 people. Let's just use that number, 2,000 people. If nothing happens as far as spiking in the COVID, which I don't think will happen because we haven't had any cases except one just what day before yesterday, is that proof that we should be able to open it up totally?
Well, it would certainly be a good test of what's happened in Shasta County, wouldn't it? If we've got, what, a 5 to 7 day period where we're going to find out whether people are beginning to show symptoms, and then the concern with that is whether they are engaging and they're actually very ill and then have to be hospitalized and take up space there and we don't have capacity. That's a challenge. So, yes, if there are no cases or one or two cases reported from that, then it certainly says that there's not much of a problem here.
We have done our test tube. We have done our Petri dish.
Well, it's the way anybody would have done it, but it is. That would be the answer,
it's
wouldn't it?
It's not the way the people would have done it, but we did it.
Yes.
So we have either proven one of two things. It's not here, and we can open up everything, or we have a spike.
Or we have a spike, and we have tremendous challenges, and we'll have to make decisions accordingly. Absolutely.
We're having Shasta Regional Medical Center rolling in right after you. We're going to be talking about that because they're the ones that have had the COVID-19 people cases in there. So what we're looking in is this next week is going to be a big week.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, and if that's the case, will this Board of Supervisors, and by the way, Mary Rickert and Matt Ponce is coming in tomorrow.
Perfect.
To, after what happened Friday, what happened over the weekend.
They're a perfect group to have on here, Carl.
They're going to be, I would hope, be able to say exactly what's going to happen in this county because people are confused. I mean, there was three different things came out in 2 days. And it's just, you know, people are, if they know what's going on, you can handle it. If you're not sure what's going on, you get angry.
And that sounds exactly what supervisors have been saying. That is a repeat of the Tuesday and the Friday conversation, Carl.
Donnell says that the final say is up to you all. Is that true?
In the end, the Shasta County Board of Supervisors can vote any way it chooses.
Okay.
Whether or not we have the legal final say would be a fight between the governor and Shasta County.
What can the governor
and he do does have power, doesn't
yeah,
what he?
Can the, what can the governor do to us? Well, this is just for clear, for make
sure,
people
sure.
clear.
The biggest concern is the governor wields the financial stick. And it's more than, you know, people say, well, hey, you're just trying to get your $3 million back. We spent a lot of money. We have to be responsible. But it's far more than that. Every program comes mostly from the state of California, and the governor can delay.
And so he can just hold the money back.
He can delay so many things, yes, sir. Yeah, there is power there. And we have to acknowledge that, and we'd be silly and foolish if we didn't.
I agree.
Whether we think he should or not, that's another opinion, right?
He's the resupply guru.
He is the governor.
And he can turn off the spigot.
Yes, sir.
Les, I appreciate you coming in here. You know, you and I haven't always agreed on things. And you knew that I had questions about this.
Absolutely.
And
you've never
when
been
I,
a...
When I called and you said, be glad to, what time?
Yeah.
And I will never agree on what happened.
Yeah.
But, but I understand why you were doing it. And I understand why you were doing it.
Yeah.
Let me put it that way. And I hope that this thing with the Cottonwood Rodeo does not come back. And I don't care about the governor sticking us in the eye. I hope it doesn't come back with a massive influx of CV-19.
You know, and I'd like to actually make a plea to our community. Cottonwood is full of good people.
Oh, yeah.
And we've had a lot of negative comments about the folks actually wanting them to die of
COVID. Yeah, I saw that, too.
Praying that they get sick and praying that their children and families go downhill. Why don't we put that same effort into praying that this virus doesn't spread and that the community is safe because then we're all safe? You know, I just think that the approach should be to go forward in a positive way.
That's right. It happened, so let's take it from there.
Yes, sir.
And when I get, you know, when I have the doctors in here next, I'll talk to them about that.
Yeah.
You know, with some of the ramifications, but they're the ones that see this all the time. And by the way, everybody can be tested for CV-19. Everybody. They've got enough tests. You just have to get down on the site, get yourself an appointment, go down and get yourself tested.
Yeah.
Okay, Les Baugh, thank you so much for being with us today, buddy.
Thank you, Carl. Appreciate you having me.
You bet. Anybody wears his freedom hat.
I love my freedom hat. By the way, I would have been dumping tea in the harbor as well.
Hey, we'll be right back with Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Clear mountain morning.
For the first time, a Senate hearing where all of the witnesses, as well as the committee chair, are appearing remotely because of coronavirus concerns. Republican Senator Lamar Alexander chairs a panel that's holding the hearing. It's now underway.
Even the experts underestimated COVID-19. This hearing is about how we improve our response to this virus as well as the next.
Among the four public health experts testifying, Dr. Anthony Fauci, the government's lead infectious disease specialist.
There are at least eight candidate COVID-19 vaccines in clinical development. The NIH has been collaborating with a number of pharmaceutical companies at various stages of development.
And if all goes well, he says a working vaccine could be identified by late fall or early winter. Meanwhile, a Massachusetts-based pharmaceutical company says the FDA is fast-tracking its experimental COVID-19 vaccine through the regulatory process. Consumer prices tumbled 0.8% last month, falling gas prices leading the way lower.
The Labor Department says core prices, which exclude food and energy, fell 0.4% last month, the largest monthly decline in core prices on records that go back to 1957. The 0.8% drop in overall prices followed a 0.4% decline in March. Gasoline prices fell 20.6% in April and contributed the most to the downward pressure on inflation.
Correspondent Jeremy House. A dispute over the release of President Trump's tax and other financial records, subject of arguments this morning before the Supreme Court. Those arguments taking place over the phone because of the coronavirus. The president says the information is private and should stay that way. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 37 points, the NASDAQ 18 points higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
We're about to hear a commercial for a very unique mortgage team that has a very specific advantage that could save your family monthly and lifelong money. Two things you should know. One, we were started by a dad and his son and his wife and his sister-in-law, and we've grown to be a faith-focused mortgage team that's helping families across the U.S. We're faith and family at our core, and we don't hide it. Two, we've still stayed fairly small, on purpose. We're only about a couple dozen people, a makeup that we believe lets us truly know every person that calls. But we also have a big advantage. Our company is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls, a reality that often allows us to get you a better rate, which could save you monthly and lifelong money. We or United Faith Mortgage at UnitedFaithMortgage.com.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Neville Park Road, Neville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to AnimalistConsumerAccess.org. Corporate Animalist number 1330. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, Mississippi, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
Gunmen have stormed a maternity hospital in the western part of Kabul, setting off a firefight with police. Afghan forces carried out newborns and their mothers as they evacuated the building. At least four people wounded. The BBC's Jill McGivering.
A hospital doctor who escaped during the attack told the BBC about 140 members of staff were inside at the time, including foreigners working for Médecins Sans Frontières, which runs the maternity unit. The doctor said he saw a gunman in military-style clothes searching the rooms. Many foreign staff stay at a guest house at the back of the hospital, and the doctor said he saw an explosion there too. The Taliban has denied involvement in this attack. In the past, similar attacks in this mostly Shia area have been attributed to the Islamic State group, which hasn't yet issued a statement.
Five COVID-19 patients are dead. An early morning fire swept through a hospital in St. Petersburg, Russia. News and analysis at townhall.com. Twitter will warn users with a label when a tweet contains disputed or misleading coronavirus information.
The company will take a case-by-case approach to how it decides which tweets are labeled. Some tweets will have a label underneath it directing users to links with additional information about COVID-19. Other tweets will be covered entirely by alerts that tell the users the information is in conflict with guidance from public health experts. It's just the latest in a string of stricter policies that tech companies are rolling out to confront virus misinformation. John Scott reporting.
If the Players Union goes along with Major League owners, baseball season could launch around the 4th of July weekend. A person familiar with an opening proposal says the owners have given their approval to the plan that would see spring training start in early to mid-June. The plan will be presented to the Players Union today. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Celebrating over 10 years on the air. 8:05 in the morning here on the 12th of May. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda will return tomorrow. We're all going to have a party. 605-4567 is our phone number here. And what's the weather look like, Ashley? This is going to be an interesting week.
Yes. If you liked what we saw yesterday, great. Plan for it again today, tomorrow, and Thursday. We will be getting a little bit of clear sky, some mostly sunny skies on Friday with a high of 81, but that's our warmest for the foreseeable future. We're even looking at a little bit of precipitation on Saturday. Wow. Our high today will be 66 degrees.
Okay. Weather reports come to us from Shasta Gas Propane out of Anderson, a veteran-owned business, Chuck and Judy Kenny. They've been doing this for... a couple of decades. I've won awards for hiring veterans, state-level awards for hiring veterans. They give discounts for seniors and veterans in their propane business. Give them a call at 365-3793. I'm here today with Casey Fatch, the CEO of Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Dr. Jim Taggart, who heads up the emergency room and down at Shasta Regional. So, good morning.
Morning. Morning to you and your listeners.
Good morning.
You know, I remember Dr. Taggart. What was it, 6 weeks ago maybe? You came in here right after the CV-19
right.
started. And before it really ramped up. And I think you said, right now I'm more concerned about getting poked by a hypodermic needle than I am by CV-19.
Well, fortunately, we've had, you know, very low incidence of.
But that was way before it even started, before we even had, I think, a case of it. So,
yeah. Well, and we didn't have a lot of information coming out of WHO.
I know. That was close to eight weeks ago. Right. It was, you know, 2 months ago when this thing
was.
Did you have any idea that it was going to explode the way it has? I mean, you all are medical professional, but Casey, you've been around hospitals, you know, for a long time, right. Running hospitals, and, yeah. And you touch on all facets of this thing.
I don't know how James feels, but you know, I'll tell you, I really felt that based on the information that we had at the time, because I remember sitting here saying, you know, CNN's declared a pandemic, but the WHO hasn't, and the CDC, the United States haven't. And it was based on information that was coming out of China that was just not giving us the right picture.
Right.
And so, you know, you can play Monday morning quarterback. I would imagine if we went back and listened to that show, it would be relatively painful.
I wasn't pointing it out for that reason because
you know I have the utmost respect for you, Jim.
But, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but I think if we would have had more of the information coming out that of the, you know, the potential for human-to-human transfer, that would have kind of set off a lot of bells and whistles. So
transmitted through aerosol. Yeah, we didn't have that information. But I think that the key and important thing here is that Casey, our administration and our emergency department and our hospital responded extremely quickly as we got all the information in, and we've been taking precautions since then.
Well, you all have been the ones that have been treating the COVID-19. I mean, that's as far as I know. I mean, anybody that's been a patient ended up at Shasta Regional, haven't they?
They've been patients at other facilities.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, but, you know, for the most part, fortunately, we haven't had a lot of hospitalizations, and we haven't had a lot of, really a lot of cases up here, actually. I mean, we've had, unfortunately, we had one test positive yesterday. We almost made the 14-day mark, but, you know, here
I think
we
there
are.
Wasn't there one?
Yeah, there was one that tested positive yesterday.
So if we go for 14 days, what does that mean?
Well, those are the federal guidelines, and this, I think Newsom's guidelines as well. He's playing into, you know, 2 weeks of negative tests is a you know, relatively safe benchmark. What do you?
Yeah, I mean, that's the incubation period.
Mm-hmm.
So at least 14 days.
You know, we've shut down the MASH unit out there at the Civic, and nobody ever actually even got there.
Right.
The USS Comfort, I think, had 25 cases. I don't know if it's still in the harbor at New York City.
Yeah.
And then
sure.
The Mercy was out in L.A. I don't even know if they ever even got anybody there.
I think they had a couple of patients, but yeah.
And, you know, I can say is that your triage that you have out there in your emergency room keeps, I mean, everybody is seen out there. So nobody gets in there without being looked at. And the only people come in the emergency room are those with the, you know, with the true symptoms or not symptoms of COVID, but could be anything, any type of emergency, broken leg or anything like that. So how's this impacted on the emergency room?
Our volumes have dropped significantly. Patients aren't coming into the emergency department to seek care. And we were seeing on average about 130 patients a day, and we dropped it down to 70 patients a day or less.
Oh, okay.
So we've had to cut back our staffing for mid-level physician assistants, nurse practitioners, physicians. We've cut hours. And we're starting to see an uptick now in our volume. I think our biggest concern is patients that are not seeking care that should be seeking care.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're concerned about catching COVID in the emergency department, that would be highly unlikely. You're more likely to catch COVID if going out to the grocery store than coming to our emergency department, because we do a pretty strict screening, check the temperature, go through the list of potential symptoms and then just
so,
history.
So that's a concern you have of the fact that people that may have things going on with them, they don't come down there because of the fear of catching.
Well, and that's one of the reasons why we opened up elective surgeries.
Okay.
As well. So we took that step. I think a week ago Monday was our first round of elective surgeries, just because people had been postponed for 6 weeks to 8 weeks, and you know, some of these conditions are you know, can progress and the patient can get sicker. And so we took that step, and then we've also decided and made the decision that we're going to get back into doing some of the most serious, higher acuity cases, open heart surgery, those type of cases as well.
Well, you know, but our emergency room wasn't the only one. My daughter's a nurse down in New Mexico, and she visits all the different hospitals as part of her job. She said all the emergency rooms were like that. You know,
it's like that across the country.
Yeah, it was surreal. She said, "I mean, and just like with our hospital here, is that they were having to lay off some of their people because they just didn't have with two things. They didn't have the people coming in, and they didn't have the income being generated to be able to pay everybody.
That's right.
And isn't that such a dichotomy there that here we are in CV-19 this pandemic, and we're laying off medical people."
Well, you know, there's one like that in New York on the East Coast.
No, because they got hit. Yeah, they couldn't get enough, but right. In other places.
We were waiting for that to happen. Unfortunately, that right. has not come to pass.
Yeah. Well, look, I want to take a quick break, and I'm here with Casey Fatch, CEO of Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Dr. James Taggart, who heads up their emergency room and sees the people coming in first that are coming in for whatever it is, whether it's just a regular emergency or the CV possibility of CV. And the hospital's opening up again. They're starting to do more surgery. I'm going to get into that when we get back.
Right.
This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Four Winds Jewelry. They're open. I think they're open. I'm pretty sure they're open. Four Winds Jewelry, 2225.
They are. I was in there yesterday.
Yeah. Okay, they are open. Thank goodness.
Don't tell my wife. Please.
Well, no, they've got a special case for people like you and me.
Yeah, I know.
Like you, for you and me, Casey, it's the I'm sorry case. We just go in and just, hey, I'm really sorry, or I'm just sorry, or I'm really, really sorry.
Fingerprint access.
22.
You'll have to show me where that case is.
Okay. No. It's just, yeah, go down and see Rebecca says, I need something for the for being locked in with my wife. And she's got it all laid out there for you. Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4, and I am going down there. Okay, hey, we'll be right back with Shasta Regional Medical Center, 8:14 in the morning, about 57 degrees up there.
Slow parade of fears without pride. Now I want to understand. I have done all.
Hi, I'm Sue Blake with Powerhouse Solar. Solar energy not only makes financial sense, but right now you can go solar for zero money down. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the most cost-effective and highest efficiency panels from SunPower. And with the electric company's rolling blackouts, Powerhouse Solar can make sure your family is not left in the dark. We have generators and battery backup systems designed for your specific needs. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
The Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to readingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee, snacks and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. Enjoy lidded beverages throughout the auditorium at every show. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to readingcivic.com to learn more.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Aloha, this is Kevin, Operations Manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Wow! I feel good.
Welcome back to 3-5 Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. 605-4567 is our phone number today, the 12th of May, 8:18 in the morning and 56 degrees out there. This portion of the show brought to you by River Commons Senior Living. If you've had it and you say to yourself, I'm tired of being alone. I'm tired of being locked into my house. go down to River Commons Seniors Living. You know, it's for active seniors. It's not an assisted living facility. You know, gourmet chefs, you know, you don't have to worry about toilet paper. You don't have to worry about paper towels. I mean, this is a place that takes care of all of your needs there. And they love your pets. Give Brian a call at 238-5981 and arrange, you know, when this thing starts lifting, arrange for a tour. Go down there and see why so many people are going to River Commons Senior Living. Worry less, smile more. I'm here with Casey Fatch, who is the CEO of Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Dr. James Taggart heads up their emergency room and all the craziness that goes on down there. We've got a caller. Jimmy, good morning. Do you have a question for our experts here?
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. I have two questions, and I'll take my answer off the air. The first one is, when you folks say that you have a new case or cases and you test these people, are they showing symptoms, or are they asymptomatic, or what? How do you, you know, is it, have they already had it? And then the next question is I've been talking about the last couple weeks, I think the numbers are padded by the CDC, because I've been looking a lot on the CDC website. And the reason I say that is it has on there confirmed and probable cases. A confirmed case or death is defined by meeting confirmatory laboratory evidence for COVID-19. And then it goes on to say a probable case or death is defined by one of the following: meeting clinical, critical, and epidemiologic evidence with no confirmatory laboratory testing performed for COVID-19. Number two, meeting presumptive laboratory evidence and other clinical criteria or epidemiologic, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, evidence. And then number three is meeting vital records criteria with no confirmatory laboratory testing performed for COVID-19. And I said last week, with my limited knowledge on this, that I think the numbers are padded about 20%. And just recently, Dr. Burke came out saying she doesn't trust the numbers either, and she thinks it's off by 25%. And I just want to get your guys' professional opinion on that. Thanks.
Okay, now the first question was, when somebody says they've got COVID, you know, because somebody just tested positive, I think I got this right, was how do you do that?
Right, so right now we're testing those that have symptoms. I do not know the details of the particular person that just recently tested, but right now we're testing those that have any concern that we are admitting to the hospital, and we're also testing those that are symptomatic and can go home.
Right. Yeah. And again, you know, so we have the testing site at Shasta College, right? We have
anybody can go to it.
That's right. And so, you know, where that positive test came from yesterday, I'm not sure. It didn't say in the release. The gentleman in his 50s, and he's being quarantined at home. But so, you know, we're beyond the point of, you know, at this point, a month ago, the only people that were getting tested were people that were symptomatic and fit a certain profile. And so now we're starting to see patients that are, or and people that are coming up to the areas. There's another one, I think, in Corning. That's a voluntary test center. You can schedule an appointment, the one at Shasta College. And then all of our elective surgeries, they get tested as well, 3 to 4 days prior to their surgery. So we're seeing a lot more testing being done. But I do want to go to your next point. And your next point is that the feds have said that the numbers are obviously based on confirmed deaths, and those are patients that generally have died in the hospital or nursing home. They said that yes, this was just on the news last night. I don't remember which outlet it was, but they said that they think that they might be off by 5,000 in New York. We were discussing this the other day. That
5,000
higher.
Higher.
Yeah, because what happens is on the average per day, the coroner service would pick up about 25 people per day that either died at home or in the street or however. And then they started tracking it, and it was coming out to about 125 a day. And so, again, you can't say it's COVID because there hasn't been any testing done. So when the autopsies are done and the test results come in, then we'll start to see some higher numbers. So that was a very good point.
So I saw that too. When Jimmy first brought this up, I went back and looked at it, and it says that some of them, if you just kind of met it, you know, they counted them. But what you're saying, Casey, it sounds like to me is that a third of the cases in our country has come from New York. So you're saying is that those numbers may even be that they're publishing may be too low.
It's not intentional, but it's just how the numbers get reported. If a patient, if a patient passes in a hospital or a nursing home, and it's a documented COVID case, then boom, then it gets reported. But if you find people, in the street or that died at home, autopsies take a while, especially as overwhelmed as the system is there, and so you're not going to get the results right away. And you're not going to be able to count those deaths as documented COVID deaths right away because you don't have the evidence to, remember a lot of this stuff, a lot of these toxicology tests and other types of tests that are done in the coroner's office have to be done in a centralized state lab. That's why it takes so long. You think, why does it take so long to find out if somebody overdosed on a drug? Because it has to be done in a certified state lab. And even in California, as big as where, there's only one. So that's why this number is going to catch up.
There's only one lab in California
that's certified to do forensic lab results. Okay, so all of the that's the last that I heard. Okay, maybe it's changed, but that's why, because it has to be done at a certified forensic laboratory. But when autopsies are done,
okay. Good news, elective surgeries were opened up, and that's something I can understand maybe the first 2 weeks. Okay, because we weren't sure what was going on and all this. But to hold it back as long as it did that make sense? I mean, this is your own personal opinion here.
So we did it for a couple of reasons. We did it to make sure that we had an intact supply chain of personal protective equipment. Mm-hmm. That's number one.
I thought this was a state thing. They made that rule.
They did.
Yeah. Okay.
And so, but that was the concern was we weren't seeing supplies coming in from particularly from China where we get our supplies. And then also we wanted to make sure that we didn't have a lot of cases coming in, so COVID cases.
Yeah.
And
Jim, I wanted to make one other comment on that caller's remarks and questions. I do think that we don't know the incidence, and we think the mortality, at least I think the mortality is going to be a lot lower than what was initially thought or predicted. Mm-hmm. Time will tell. Until we have a lot more testing capability and we know who has been positive and who isn't, then we won't know. The other good news is most people are very, have very mild disease, Most people do not end up getting admitted to the hospital.
Even tested.
That was the study we had the doctor on from that group from Stanford that said they believe from their testing, and he says it's been replicated in other places, in Los Angeles and New York, that many, many, many more people have had CV-19 than we believe, which then lowers the death rate and all these other things.
Not to minimize the disease.
Not at all.
Afflicted with this, but
I remember exactly what Dr. Bawa said here. Right. He said, the people that died, he said they wouldn't be dead if it wasn't for CV-19, and even if there were underlying conditions.
Right.
So it is serious. Yeah, okay, let's go to the phones. Terry.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you all doing?
Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, really and truly, I want folks to, when they can, Google Peggy Hall. There's been some things. First of all, because of Title 42 and the public health and safety welfare is now relegated locally. The state no longer has any jurisdiction. That's why the governor is doing what he's doing. Because according to the State of Emergency Act, an epidemic has to be beyond normal range. Now, in Shasta County, it's not beyond normal range. In fact, in the state of California, medically, it's not beyond normal range. Because we've had 6,000 deaths from the flu during the flu season, according to California, and 2,000 from COVID. I would also submit to you that a lot of people who died of something else, like a couple of people here in Shasta County that were in their 90s, they had a strain of COVID. But it can't really be proven that COVID killed them. It could have been a heart attack or pneumonia.
That's not true, Jerry. Because, I'm not going to argue the other points, but the doctor that treated him said He died of COVID.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, he died of COVID. So the point is that to have an emergency, everything has to be overwhelmed. We're laying off people in the healthcare industry, and according to 8567B of the California State of Emergency Act, the governor, since he took over, first of all, he has to get legislative approval, which he didn't. Second of all, when it comes to how this thing ends, there's three ways it could end. It could be ordered by the governor to end, or the governor can proclaim the end of it, or the legislature can say it's the end of it, or a period of 60 days, whatever comes first. March 4th is when it started. It's now 68 days later. The state of emergency no longer exists in the state of California, nor did it ever, because according to State of Emergency Act, it never qualified as an epidemic. It never did, because it wasn't overwhelming. When you have 2,000 people dying from COVID in California out of 40 million, and 6,000 dying of the flu season being between October and May, then if the numbers were reversed, I could see it, but the numbers aren't reversed. So the deal is all of this is due to the county. Now, Dr. Karen Randstrom.
Hey, Terry, tomorrow we have the head of the Board of Supervisors and the county officer, and I think any discussions on Karen Ramston should be done then and not with Shasta Regional. So, and plus we have to take a break. Thanks a lot, Terry. Okay, 8:30 in the morning, and we're going to take a quick break. And I'm not arguing with Terry.
He brings up some good points.
Very good points there.
Those questions are, to your point, Carl, better answered by Dr. Ramston.
Yeah, from them. But what Terry says, and he talked to me about this yesterday, I'm still looking this stuff up. If it's an emergency, don't we last for 60 days, well, we've had our 60 days.
And so, it hasn't been redeclared. So
and it has not.
He brings up some good points.
He really does. Okay, thanks a lot, Terry. Hey,
thank you, Terry.
We're going to take a quick break. This portion of the show is brought to you by my favorite barbershop that if they're not opening now, I'm just going to say that why not? Just keep your blinds down, Tim and Logan. Just keep the blinds down, okay?
Haircuts would be such a controversy.
Well, you know what? So first of all, if they do, they've got all the safety. As a barber called and says, we go through 10 months of school. We do a lot of sanitizing in this. So if you kind of like, and they do it by appointments, and you can call them at 244-9478. And if you keep the blinds down, who's gonna know? Cypress Square Barbershop. Man's last stronghold. We'll be right back.
Enjoy year-round access to everything Turtle Bay Exploration Park has to offer with a discounted annual membership. On sale now through May 31st for $15 off. All new and existing memberships are extended for the duration of the pandemic closure. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Did you know that the I-5 property where we would like to relocate our casino was supposed to be set aside for Native Americans nearly 170 years ago? My great-great-great-uncle actually signed Treaty 8. One of the 18 unratified treaties with the United States government, which unfortunately, like many promises made to our ancestors, the treaty was never ratified. Redding Rancheria is proud to play our part.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor. Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends.
We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Enjoy year-round access to everything Turtle Bay Exploration Park has to offer with a discounted annual membership. On sale now through May 31st for $15 off. All new and existing memberships are extended for the duration of the pandemic closure. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Yeah, this portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Maxwell Insurance and Financial here at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, Free Fire Radio. Judy Maxwell's been doing this since 1993. As you know, the financial services side of it has been in an up-and-down ride ever since this thing started. And again, the stock market did a rally, and people are trying to figure out why. But
right.
Ask the people over at Maxwell Insurance and Financial why it happened. They know why. All your insurance and financial needs under one roof. Just give them a call at 221-0441, and I'm sure they're one of the businesses that can open up and will be opening up now. So give them a call. Stop on by. I'm with Casey Fatch, who is the CEO of Shasta Regional Medical Center. Dr. Taggart had to run off, and before he ran off, he yelled, telemedicine.
Yes, he did. Yeah, we're setting up a program for people to be able to access an emergency physician or provider. And so we're very close to having that started. So, you know, watch our website for instructions on how to get an appointment. But you'll be able to we'll be able to make a determination whether you need to come in. They could do prescriptions over the telemedicine as well. So it's just another service that we're trying to make people feel comfortable about, you know, reengaging with the hospital.
Okay. So. Let's go to the phones. Lori, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Carl, Casey, and Ashley. Quick question. And first, I did miss about 10, 15 seconds of Terry, the caller, earlier. I don't know if it's the rainstorm or a glitch, but sometimes when people are saying something, you miss the whole thing because of, you know what I mean? So I don't know.
Yeah, call-ins are like that.
Yeah, it happens with the rain. So my topic here is the issue and concern and controversy, actually, regarding masks, what kind, how often. There's a Dr. Russell Blaylock, an MD, who put out an article yesterday or the day before about the implosion of potential side effects. If people that normally don't wear masks suddenly have to because of their job, whether it's Costco or an air, whatever it is, that there's an issue of hypoxic or what they call hypercapnia, meaning loss of oxygen in the body. This makes it very difficult for the immune system, which makes us even more potentially susceptible. I realized the doctor had to dash off, so I'm kind of putting this out there to everybody to look into and pay attention, because there's a lot of people that get the, you know, the hate stare because they're not wearing a mask everywhere they go. The point is, some people that claim or feel healthy might not need to have a mask on all the time. And so if we are indeed getting a carbon monoxide buildup, it is affecting our blood pH, where we're becoming acidic. Some people think that this infection or transmission can also come through our eyes. So do eye goggles need to be the better option than, you know, being kind of suffocated, if you will, in a mask when most people aren't used to it? You know, there's a lot of people with pulmonary issues, COPD, allergies. They can't be in a mask, so they've got their own specialty issues. So I hope I'm not unclear, but I'm just saying this is getting old for people to be obedient or comply or stand in line this far along, clap at 7 o'clock at New York and thank the heroes, which you are. Anybody going to work in this occupation in the medical field is completely a hero. There's a lot of people coming forward and paying the price. That's my question. Can you address anything vaguely about the masks controversy?
Okay.
And all of that.
Okay, Lori, thanks a lot.
Yeah, I can say a few things. Number one, patients that are susceptible to any kind of hypoxia from wearing a mask that you brought up so eloquently, that might have like COPD or any kind of underlying heart disease, those are the folks that we're going to most likely be asking to try to stay at home and try to limit going out because we realize that they have a problem with wearing a mask. Most of the masks that people are going to be wearing on a regular basis are cloth masks, and they'll still protect you from the droplet aspect of the transmission of the disease that we've been talking about. But you're right, there are some masks, and I even have trouble wearing the M95 masks, which are the super filter gel that we use for viral protection in the hospital. You know, I can only wear those for so long because they start to bother me as well. So you bring up a really good point. I think they probably individuals should probably take that up with the providers individually to make sure that they aren't going to have any long-term risks.
My daughter wears an M95 as a nurse. But they also put another mask over her, that, and she says it's horrible.
Yeah.
And she comes home. I mean, I published some pictures on Facebook last week about our first responders, our nurses that are working and doctors working in the hospitals. Their faces are bruised. I mean, they look like somebody. They've been in a fight with Mike Tyson.
Sure.
And it's just tough. But I understand, Lori. You know, one of the things, if I wear a mask, and but I have one that's tied, you know, two ties on it. I untie the bottom one. It's still covering me, but it opens up the ability to breathe a lot better.
Yeah, it's definitely uncomfortable, though.
Yeah, but it is uncomfortable. And, you know, I'd much rather wear my schmog, which just wraps around my head.
There you go.
And, I mean, it serves the same purpose. Okay. Elective surgeries, we talked about that. And that, thank goodness, that's opening up. So many people, hips, knees, ankles, arms.
Right.
Are now getting helped.
Yeah, a lot of the total joints we're getting back into. And, you know, so unfortunately people have had to delay those surgeries and live with that additional, you know, that pain for, you know, maybe another 6 to 8 weeks, unfortunately. But it was the right thing for us to do.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, you had to do that.
And again, we have started doing more complex inpatient cases where people that require maybe a 4 to 5 stay, 4 to 5 day length of stay in the hospital. So those... We met with all of our local experts last Friday, and made that decision to continue or to restart those programs.
And those are like stents and things like that, or
more like cardiac surgery, thoracic surgery, vascular surgery, spine surgeries, those type of cases.
Now you've got the Da Vinci.
Right.
And did that have something to do with the decision, because it's less intrusive, it's less, you know, I mean, you don't have to do all the like, you know, before how you open them up and all this.
Yeah, unfortunately with the Da Vinci, the Da Vinci and laparoscopic surgery was one of the reasons why they really decided to try to postpone elective surgeries, because of the potential for aerosol. There's some gases and stuff that are used.
Oh, okay.
And so but again, the benefit about restarting the elective surgeries is we were able to do more cases as outpatients where you didn't have to stay overnight because of the Da Vinci. So having that technology allowed us to get back into the elective surgery realm a little earlier than most.
So ordinarily they would have stayed overnight, but now with the Da Vinci they can go home.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. So that was to your point. That was a tool that we have our arsenal to help us get back to normal.
Okay. Hey, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back. It's about 8:44 in the morning here, 56 degrees out there. It's cloudy. It's going to be raining off and on today, but also tomorrow and Thursday. Maybe start clearing up on Friday. Here it is, the 12th of May, 8:43 in the morning. We'll be right back.
There's one thing for sure. I want a cure. Let's see. Coffee, got it. Radio, dialed in, check. Showtime for Armstrong and Getty.
That's right. Join us 9 to 12, KCNR Mornings.
Shasta College has been a vital part of this community for over 70 years. Look around. You probably know many of our successful graduates serving our community in high-demand, high-growth fields like nursing, law enforcement, accounting, communications, and agriculture. Summer enrollment is happening now. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply to enroll for the summer semester. Classes start June 8th. Looking for a transfer? Save money and time by spending your first 2 years at Shasta College before you transfer to a university. High school students, summer is the perfect time to earn college credits with no tuition cost. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply.
No tuition cost. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply.
This is Ted Leidy with the Northern Firearms Instruction Personal Protection Tip of the Day. If you have the ability to park in a garage or carport, do it. Criminals identify dark streets and alleys to target unsuspecting victims who are distracted with loading or unloading packages or children. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's the case, give us a call at NFI at 999-1822 or to find and register for one of our popular CCW or other firearm safety courses, visit us online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
In these uncertain times, do you need a much-needed break from cooking? If so, let Mary's Pizza Shack take care of you with their to-go delivery, curbside pickup. Mary's is offering to-go beer and wine at a special discounted rate. And as always, they have their famous pizza, pasta, soups, and salads. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Friday and Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. From Mary's family to yours, please be safe. Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
We are Women of Vision.
Hi, I'm Haley Clandenny.
And I'm Maurice Brown.
Join us for the Women of Vision show Tuesday nights from 6 to 7.
Women of Vision is a movement, women empowering women, locally and globally. We connect female professionals and entrepreneurs and encourage women to collaborate and achieve their personal and professional goals.
With a spirit of integrity and excellence, we will motivate you to thrive, activating your unique ability. Join us Tuesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR 96.5 FM.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
And now back to our show.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here, 605-4567, 847 in the morning here, and about 57 degrees. And the weather report's always brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Gas Propane. You can give them a call at 365-3793. They give discounts for seniors and veterans. They have a generator program they're working at, too. You might call them and ask them about that. They'll make sure you have power during the summer. Yeah. I'm here with Casey Fatch, the CEO of Shasta Regional Medical Center. And, you know, Casey, just, you know, all hospitals have just gone through hell over this last month. And I'm not just talking about, like, New York with COVID-19.
Right.
All hospitals have tried to, you know, I mean, the rules coming down, and they're switching daily and all this. So you've got to keep a kind of really a level head, which you have, about how do you keep, you know, your people up and all these things going.
Yeah, it's unprecedented times. You know, I've been doing this for a while. I have obviously never seen anything like it. I think if this was a usual occurrence, I'd probably go into banking. But this has been something that has been just really hard on the staff. Fortunately, we've been able to keep majority of our people working. But it's been hard financially. You know, we've seen some significant revenue drops, and our company's been very good about supporting all of their facilities. So, you know, we'll get through it, but we'll ride this one out. We've got some catch up to put it.
I think everybody does. Yeah. I don't know of anybody that has. The only people that haven't been affected by this, I think, is the government.
I don't know. We got some big checks to write. They've written some big checks and some big debt to pay back.
That's true. You know? This is going to pass. Yeah. And so I know you always are looking down the road.
Yeah.
What do you see, you know, the ramifications of this and, you know, where hospitals are going to be after this?
Well, I think obviously, you know, you have to have your head in the sand if you don't think there's going to be a second wave. They're just the way these things happen, unfortunately. But, you know, the smarter we get about it and the better precautions that we take and the more we learn about vaccines, all the stuff that you guys have all heard on the news. But I do see us trying to get back to normal as far as your local healthcare providers, and trying to get back into, getting us into these procedures again that our local population are having to leave to go to down to the busier centers where it's a higher risk for you to get exposed to COVID. And so trying to keep everybody up here, and those will be electrophysiology for any kind of a heart arrhythmias. We're going to be looking at that, taking a good serious look at that. Again, we're looking at TAVR again, which is the aortic valve replacement program through a catheter.
So you want to start doing all these things here and locally that we don't have to send people.
Yeah, we got to get back. And again, we had started those programs and they would have been up and running already, but COVID got in the way of that.
COVID got in the way of a lot of things.
COVID got in the way of a lot of things.
You said something that you're right. You'd have to have your head in the sand if you didn't hear about it. Is that a second wave coming through? It happened in the Spanish flu. It happens with almost everything like this.
It did. It did. So I just think, you know,
there's got to be a better way.
Be a scholar of history. And there is a better way. And again, that's preventative. Let's be smart. Let's listen to the Fauci's of the world. I mean, the guy's a pretty solid guy. You know, he's not caving into any political connection or pressure, and he's telling us like it is. I believe. And so I think that's the kind of people we need up there.
So I think the thing about the social distancing, there are, you know, even though, of course, we had our Cottonwood Rodeo that they're talking, that there may not be. I did see it says Fauci said NFL could start, but I don't know if he means with people in the stands.
Yeah, but then again, that's, you know, you're talking, what's that? That's like in September, I think it starts, after Liberty Weekend. That's a ways out. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. You know. But so sooner we can get back to normal, the better.
But again, you know, if things do start spiking up, we're going to have to respond to that, and we're going to have to dial some things back like we did this time.
Well, that's the concern.
That's right.
Is that, hey, everything's going good. We've had one case in the last 2 weeks, but if we all of a sudden get 20 cases,
we have to take a step back and reassess.
Yeah, and see what's going on with that.
Exactly.
Okay. What would you tell people that are, you know, you said you're starting the open heart and doing those kind of things where you're having to stay in the hospital 3 or 4 days. And the hospitals are scary places anyway.
Right.
You know, I mean, they just are. Yeah. Especially if you've had an operation like that. But can you just tell people kind of, you know, I can speak from a family member that was there that said that she was, that it was clean. It was, people were there all the time and all this. But but to rely on totally on people, really, they don't know.
Well, yeah, you know, we have a lot of standards that we go by, a lot of cleaning standards that we go by, that's just daily routine for us. I think with regard to people having more serious types of cases now, we probably need to take a step back and reassess our visitors policy. You know, because one of the national directives was to eliminate the visitors because people could potentially come in with COVID. And so, again, we test our employees at the door every day for temperature screening. Everybody is tested. We don't COVID test everybody every day because they're not symptomatic, our employees. If they do become symptomatic, then they get tested and they get sent home until the test results come back.
But you take everybody's temperature when they're coming in?
Absolutely.
All that?
No question. So, if there's going to be a change in our visitors policy, we'll put a press release out so everybody knows.
Okay.
And but that's something that we'll be taking a look at.
The it does, and this I'm talking to you as Casey DeCarl here. You know, the rules that were made just seem capricious, where you can go to Lowe's but you can't go to Four Winds Jewelry. I guess they were talking about, oh, this was a an essential business, but I'm not even sure what an essential business is.
Well, I think that there was a little bit of a gray line there, but I think that, you know, if you're talking about essential home repairs, then yeah, you know you're going to go to Lowe's versus Four Winds. But the jury's still out on that. I think we're going to have to kind of reassess what we do think is an essential business. Because when this happens again, hopefully it doesn't. But, you know, if it does, we'll have to take a look at that essential business definition.
Yeah, because another round of this will finish off businesses.
Economically,
some businesses,
will be tough. And that's, you know, that's what makes this so hard when you have a pandemic like this and you've got this rise in need of unemployment. And then you also have that unemployment and the shutdown of the business triggers. There's no tax revenues. And so it's a bad equation.
The other thing that is something that has, you know, it started to come up is the impact of not working or businesses being in trouble, the suicides, the alcoholism, domestic abuse,
sure,
all the stuff that we haven't even seen those yet. Those will be coming in. I mean, we haven't seen the numbers yet, but they're starting to rise.
Yeah, and those, a lot of that stuff is dynamic of losing, you know, it can be kind of contributed to people losing control of their, you know, being able to go to work and having that self-worth. And so there's a whole bunch of psychology that goes into that. But, unfortunately, those things do happen more frequently under conditions like this.
What do you think hospitals will take away from this?
I think that list is still being written, but that's a tough question. I think you got me there. That's a tough question. There's a lot of things that we've learned, and there's a lot of things that we thought might have been. Yeah, I think for us right now, the big question is treatment and what's going to be the best course of treatment for patients. A lot of times now they're talking about not being so quick to put people on ventilators, looking at some of these other drugs and trying to get those drugs earlier in the course of treatment of COVID, you know, just right away, because the outcome is much better than if they delay a few days. So we're still taking a real hard look at that. And then also the policies of, you know, no visitor, all those type of policies. Are they effective? Are they necessary? So.
Yeah, there's a lot of things.
Sure.
I mean, you know, in the hospital care thing there, because it's tough enough as it is, and then you throw this in as, you know, what works, what doesn't work, and the things that have worked, how do you, you know, implement all that.
Right.
The number of, you know, the big thing was the number of ventilators. Everybody's talking about that.
Sure.
I assume now after this has happened that we have more than enough ventilators.
You know, there's a couple of things. Like I said earlier, they're starting to not put people on ventilators.
Uh-huh.
And so maybe ventilators weren't the right answer at the beginning. But, you know, I do hear that they're being a lot cranked out, and Ford Motor Company's in on it. And those guys, you tell them to start making something there. They're on it. They donated. They've given us masks and, you know, face shields. And I actually asked for one to be brought down to my office because I'd like to have one if it had the Ford Motor Company symbol on it. But it doesn't, unfortunately. So. But
a big Ford in the middle of it. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. But they were gracious enough to send us a case of those and as a donation. So they're really stepping up.
Well, I think all the medical facilities and then and into our stores here in this country, we're going to have these masks. We are going to have a lot of things. We've learned this.
Yeah, I think one of the things also to answer one of your questions earlier, I think that we've learned as an industry to work closer together and not as competitors. And so this has been something that has drawn all of our local hospitals together closer and providers. So I think that's a big takeaway for us.
Okay. I'm here with Casey Fatch, the CEO of Shasta Regional Medical Center, and I so much appreciate you coming in here once a month to tell us what's going on, especially during this thing. You've made your doctors available, all of this to help get information out to our audience. Tomorrow we have with us the chairman of the Board of Supervisors, Mary Rickert, and the Matt Pontes, who is the new county CEO, and we're going to be trying to figure out what's opening, when it's opening, and How can we speed this up? And our next guest at 8 o'clock will be Gary Hayward, who is the CEO of the Wind River Resort and Casino, talking about their plans on opening on May 15th.
and next month, we'll talk about wound care.
Wound care.
Very dear to all of our hearts.
Well, people don't realize how, you know, that wound care, that people we have, you know, that we had an employee here for several years that had open wounds and was treated daily.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get it, you know, I mean, he wasn't going to Shasta Regional, but that was a toughie.
Yeah, we've retooled our program. It's multidisciplinary now. It's where you want to go to get healed. So we'll bring somebody in to talk about it next month.
That's great. Hey, Casey, thanks a lot. And I just want to thank you and all your people there.
Thanks.
I mean, you know, when I talk about caring, compassion, community, I've added courage onto that because your guys never took a step back. They threw themselves right into this fight to serve our community.
Yeah. No, they should be commended. They've done a great job.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay, everybody, remember, it's good guys against the bad guys. Let's all try to be good guys during this time.
Is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.